This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
It's Z-Rock! The Ole Miss Rebels have knocked out the Georgia Bulldogs!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
No complacency.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Still to come, Colts quarterback Philip Rivers. Pro Football Hall of Famer Michael Irvin. And now,
here we come.
It's Rich Eisen.
Well, you know how you like to spend the new year with friends and with people you love, and you're surrounded by people that you really appreciate? Well, hosting my first show of the new year is the same way. Michael Irvin in hour number three, and let's get right to our second hour guest. I haven't spoken to him in forever and a day. One of my favorite people I got to meet and chat with over my years with NFL Network. He is joining us right now here live at the top of hour number two here on this first edition in 2026 of the Rich Eisen Show. Philip Rivers is here.
Yeah.
On the program. How are you, Philip Rivers?
What's happening, Rich? It's good to talk to you. It has been a while.
It's been too long. It's been since 2017 since you've been on this show, but I've spoken to you in between. How are you doing? I very rarely start a conversation that way, but how are you doing? Philip?
Good. It's been a whirlwind of emotions, as you can imagine, the last 3 weeks or so. Most of it all positive. Again, I've said it numerous times, but just thankful. Had a blast. Obviously, wish the outcomes were a little different. We could have found a way to win a couple games and have this Houston game mean win or get in. Win and get in, but it's been a blast just to be back in the mix, and then now as it's winding down, you know, you're getting ready to head back home here in a few days, but nothing but gratitude, really. It's been a blast.
Now, I have so many questions for you, Philip. Were you watching the Colts live when Daniel Jones went down?
Yeah, I was.
You were at
I
home?
Was, yeah.
Watching it live?
Yeah. We still watch. I mean, we go to Mass at either 9 or 11, and those games kick off Central Time, as you know, at noon. And
right.
And we watch ball pretty much most of the afternoon. My two-year-old takes a long nap on me, and we try to keep him asleep as long as possible. And we flip channels and watch games, and you know, we watch the bulk of, you know, Colts and Chargers games usually when those games are on. Those are the main game on, but we flip all around. And you know, by 3 o'clock Central, we find the games that are coming down to the wire, and about 6 o'clock, you find those other games that are coming down to the wire, and then we usually eat dinner together and then watch the Sunday night game. So, yeah, I was watching it live. You know, just unfortunate, gotten to be around Daniel now these last 3 weeks, and what a great year he was having, and then, you know, to battle the broken leg and then the Achilles is brutal for him. But he seems to have a great spirit about the whole deal, and look forward to seeing him back out there next fall.
Well, how soon did your phone ring after the end of that game, Philip?
Yeah, it was later. I don't remember exactly, but it was later. It was later on.
Same day? Was it same day?
Yeah, it was same day.
Wow. Man.
And then Monday.
When you're hearing the words, when you're hearing that words, though, in your ear on the phone, where they start, you know, heat checking you, what was going through your mind when you heard that?
Yeah, I think first it was just, I guess my first thought was like, dang, let's go, you know, a little bit. Right. And then you start going all over the place, right? Your mind kind of goes all over the place. And it was a wild, you know, 36 hours, I guess, just of going back and forth, you know, yeah, let's go for it. And then it was like, what, have I lost my mind? You know, I could go on and on, but, It was wild. Then getting back here, getting here Monday afternoon, Monday evening, throwing in the indoor.
Right.
Felt pretty good. And it's kind of like, man, I remember this place. You know, obviously it was the last place I was in 2020 and that 2020 season. So then it kind of felt kind of good. And then having some familiar faces, obviously with Shane, but also there's 14 teammates that were here in 2020. And so that kind of added to the familiarity. And then the training room staff's the same, the equipment guys, you know, the PR guys, you know, there was a lot of familiarity. And, And then it felt pretty normal there once we got going in that game week.
Well, not to get too deep here, Philip, but, you know, in the times that I've been, you know, around guys of your stature, gamers of your stature, after they've retired, I'll ask them up that they sometimes dream of being back in a game, you know, go to sleep. You're in your REM state and you're back under center and you're in a huddle. And I'm wondering, do you have those dreams? And was the game in Seattle sort of just like that for you?
It really was. You know, I've had a blast. I was at peace with when I finished and coaching there at St. Michael and getting to coach my son at quarterback. And it's been awesome. And so it did feel like a dream, because this wasn't something I was hanging on to or, you know, hoping happened one day. You know what I mean? It was over. Mm-hmm. Right? And then all of a sudden it was like, here you go. You got one more shot if you want it. And so, yeah, it did. And standing in Seattle, you know, it was 1,800 days or so since my last game I played in Buffalo, but it was really about 2,100 days since I was in a full house, you know, because that was that COVID season. So
right.
My last game in San Diego, or last game with the L.A. Chargers at Kansas City in Arrowhead in, you know, 2019 was the last time I was in a packed house. So I was standing out there in Seattle, and obviously we know what that atmosphere is like. And I was like, man, what is going on? You know, this is crazy. I get to do this again. And I remember that first hit I took, it may have been the second drive, I think. And I missed Tyler Warren, I think, on something. But that first hit I took, it was one of those, it was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be fine. You know, it officially locked me into the game, and I felt like I was right back where I'd been for 17 years. And I remember finding my brother and son, and they were sitting about 10 rows up, and they looked at me kind of like, well, and I was like, we're gonna be fine. You know, we're gonna be just fine. So it certainly got me locked in that one, and really the next 2 weeks felt normal. They really did. They felt good. And like I said, I hate it. We couldn't find a way to climb back in this thing. But the experience has been awesome.
Yeah. And I know that obviously is the point. You want to win. You want to win. You want to take the team to the playoffs. That you were called up to hopefully do that on behalf of the organization and the coach. But the endeavor in itself, Philip, I just got to tell you, watching you was just awesome. You know, I'm 56. And I'm looking at you and I'm seeing what you're doing, and you inspired me. You know, I was talking to Kurt Warner just the other day, and I'm like, when you're watching Philip on film, was there a moment where you're like, I think I can make that throw too? You know what I mean? And he said he did feel that way. And I'm wondering, who have you heard from to say similar things than what I've just told you, Philip?
Too many to even name. I mean, just, Kurt being one of them, but just so many people that I either played with, talked to at some point. I mean, the emotions I felt really after that first week from the numerous people. I was reading them off, you know, to my wife, and she was like, gosh, that sounds like everybody you've ever known, you know. And it was you know, just I wish I had a better word, I can't come up with one. It's just thankful. I really am. It's been to get to just go back out there and play and be a kid again one more time at the highest level, be a teammate, you know, be a teammate again. Because I think you've heard a lot, I bet you've heard so many former players, that's what we always talk about, is just what they miss the most is being a teammate, you know, getting in the hot tub in the morning, sitting in the sauna, you know, the bus ride, all those in the huddle, in the meeting room. I mean, just on and on. And that had all passed. You know, I was thankful for those 17 years, and that had all passed. And all of a sudden you get three bonus weeks, just right in your lap, and fell right in your lap. And it was just overwhelmed with gratitude. But you going back to what you said, Kurt said, I mean, I bet he could make all those throws. I mean, you know, that's what's crazy. It's like, my arm is not, I was never a big arm guy, and right. But it's not what it was 6 years ago. I mean, there's some limitations there that I go, that, you know, field deep comeback, I'm good. I don't think we'll try to make that one. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, I mean, that's not just going to go away, you know. And then obviously, especially in my position, I never ran away from anybody anyway. So it was going to be from the neck up and being accurate and on time and all those things. And I missed some throws that I probably would have made had I been in a normal groove. But I made some too that, that felt the same as they felt, you know, 10 years ago. So,
you know, I mean, Philip, it's this game seems to adapt and change game to game, year to year. Any difference that you've sensed in the 5 years?
Not a ton. I do think that defenses are continuing to get better and better at disguising, and at least just if they can, you know, the decisions are made in, you know, whatever, 2 seconds. You know, these things are happening fast. So if they can delay or cause you to have a little, you know, confusion or whatever, just a little bit, you know, I mean, just a little bit more than normal, then it can affect you. So I feel like the defenses have gotten better. You know, I just remember way back, you know, defense is trying to disguise things, and it's one guy, you know, you go, oh, well, he's a good disguiser. And it's like, yeah, but all these other guys on the defense aren't even showing what he's showing. So just don't even, you know, you can ignore him. I know what y'all are in, you know. And now these teams seem a little bit more connected, you know, the back end to the linebackers, and they're a little more connected and wired. And so that seems to be, you know, where it has been become more challenging. But no, there were so many things. It was just felt like, man, has it been 5 years? Like, it doesn't feel like it didn't feel like that once in some of these games, you know. And again, shoot, I still threw it to the other team in each game and made plenty of mistakes. But for the most part, I was like, dang, all right. Yeah, it's not because I was nervous about the whole thing. Like, man, it's been a long time since people have been moving real fast around me. Am I going to be able to function? And as soon as I got through that first week of practice, Friday practice before Seattle, you know, a ball didn't hit the ground. And I don't say that like, you know, whoop-de-doo, I know, but that's what it used to be. You know, I was like, all right, shoot. Heck yeah, that felt like a Friday practice was supposed to feel. So there's a lot of – I know when the dust will settle, I'll have even more emotions and more memories from these 3 weeks. It's all happened so fast.
Yeah, so let's get to the what next for you in the few minutes I have left with you. First things first, has anybody reached out to you for movie rights yet? Anybody?
No.
Nothing?
Golly, it's not a great ending. You know, if we could have got hot and got on a run.
Hey, Philip, Rocky didn't win Rocky 1, man. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't – we didn't need the full magic carpet. That would have been great, obviously, but –
Well, the thought I had, you know, at one point was, you know, because you all, I was always, you know, I'm thinking back to 2008, we were 4-8, and me and Charlie Whitehurst were sitting in there in the quarterback room writing up the percentages we had to get in, you know, if every game was 50-50, and it was like, you know, 2.5%, then it went to 10, then it went to 25, then it went, you know, and we found a way to get in that 2008 year. And so, of course, I was at the same optimism here, and I was like, we're going to find a way to get in, and we're going to play at the LA Chargers, and what in the world, what is that going to be like, you know? And, of course, none of those things happened, but no, it's you know, I say this truthfully. Tuesday, I'll be eighth period PE with the boys weightlifting at the school and settling back into that slow pace in Fairhope that I had the last 4.5 years.
But what if another team called you in the summer? Are you answering the phone?
Nah. I mean, y'all answer the phone and probably, you know, if that happened, be flattered that they even would consider it. But no, because even these last 4 years had the situation come up, I was out unless our football season was done. I just wasn't going to leave the guys, you know, our team mid-season or leave before the year started. But my son will be a senior quarterback. My other son will be a freshman on the team. You know, we dress all those guys 9 through 12. And so it's going to be a special fall next fall and off-season. And so, no, just thankful it happened. It was obviously a cool experience for our whole family. And certainly the high school team back home has been a blast seeing some of the clips of all them. And a lot of them were at the game last weekend. So it all happened fast. And as quick as it's happened, it's over. But I have, other than us not getting it done, I have zero regrets. I think I would have really regretted it had I gotten back on that plane and gone back to Fairhope and not given it a shot. So it's been awesome.
What a message to deliver to your kids now too, right? I mean, seriously, you can't have a more powerful message as a coach than belief, hope, desire, trying, give it your best. Doesn't matter what you think could go wrong. Just as you said, dadgummit, just go for it. And what a message you can deliver to your kids now, Philip. Not that you couldn't have done it before, but now you can just say, look here. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, and I'm even more thankful for that, because I didn't think of that at the time, right? You're just so zeroed in on what am I going to do. But looking back on it, because the fear and the doubt I had was really pulling me away to say, don't do it. You know what? That's not like you to have this doubt of can you do it? But it was justified doubt, because I hadn't played in 5 years. Like, of course you have some doubt. But the only way to find out if you can do it is to go for it, you know? And the other part of that, Rich, to me too, is being okay with the results. And I'm okay with it. I wish we were still playing, and I hated I couldn't have completed one more ball and didn't throw that pick six and didn't throw the interception when it was 17 all against Jacksonville and find a way to get one more first down against Seattle. So Blake's kicking the game winner and it's a walk off and they don't have 42 seconds left. And so all those things are still real that you wish as a competitor that you got done. But being okay with the results is the other thing that pushed me over the edge. It's like, well, what if you pop your calf in the first quarter of Seattle? Well, that'll be embarrassing. And it'll be like, man, I've only been here for 4 days and I'm going home. And that didn't work out. But I got to the point where I was like, well, I'm okay with whatever the results are, you know, because and you'll face them when you get there, good or bad. You know, I think sometimes that can be crippling for all of us. And whatever we do is you get so caught up in, well, what if it doesn't go good? Well, what if it doesn't? You know, I mean, we'll deal with it then. But you can't let that make you not go after something. And in this case, a game that I loved and had a, you know, opportunity to go out there and play one more time. It was just I'm glad I was that discernment process that I had to go through. It was probably the hardest decision I've ever had to make, because it was truly just make it, you know. And was there a right or wrong one? You know, I don't know. But I'm thankful that I got the opportunity and had these last 3 weeks.
And we're thankful for it too, just as people who watch and root and love football and love people who love football. And you're certainly one of them. I would be remiss if I let you go without talking about me the other day being 0 days old, learning that Kurt Cignetti was your position coach at NC State. Philip, really? He was.
Yeah, no, Coach Sig was there all 4 years I was at NC State. He was the tight end coach and I think recruiting coordinator my first 3 years, and then he was the quarterback coach. So we were in the meeting room together every day my senior year. And as you've seen, obviously, what an unbelievable job he's done at Indiana, but also all the other stops he's made along the way. Super smart. Really good teacher, really good throughout the week, you know, that I, you know, as I recall, it was, you know, 20-something years ago, but just in the meeting rooms, getting you prepared, understanding defenses, all those things. Had a very steady way about him, as you've seen. He's got plenty of fire, but he's very steady, you know, very steady. And that was felt, certainly, I felt that being my position coach that senior year. So, yeah, what he's done there at Indiana has been awesome. It's amazing how long, when you're in this sport for a long, long time, mm-hmm. how many people you either know or have played against or cross paths. And it seems like when we start talking about games and this and that, you know, you go, oh, I knew him. Oh, yeah, we played against him. You know, so many cool things. Such a small football world when it comes down to it, if you've been in it long enough.
Yeah, he's built a bully in Indiana. They could easily win it all, and he could easily be a guy building a dynasty in college football right now, for real.
It's crazy, and it's also crazy. I'm sure you saw that they're talking about, you know, these four head coaches that were all part of Saban's staff at one point,
right,
at Alabama, which is unbelievable, really. Nope. What those guys and how many guys have gone, either been with him or at some point gone on and done great things at other places is pretty cool.
No doubt. Hey, Philip Rivers, don't be a stranger. I'm going to keep reaching out to you. I just want to keep checking in on you, heat checking you. And I honestly, I'm not just blowing smoke. What you did, your decision, the way you've carried yourself, the way you've gone about your business, it is so inspiring to so many people. And I know I was talking about how you have a coaching point now with your kids. Every coach now has a coaching point with their kids based on what you've just done over the last 3 weeks, for real. And you should feel great about that, man. You really should.
I appreciate that. I always enjoyed our visits over the years.
Thank you.
Congrats to you, too. Shoot, you've had a heck of a career and rolling. Look at you, the Rich Eisen studio. Man.
I've got my own mug. You look at me. I've got my own mug. Philip, are you I'm afraid to ask this question. Are you a coffee drinker? Do you drink
coffee? Yeah, I do. I'm a seasonal coffee drinker, you know.
Okay.
When it's hot and muggy in the summer down there in the South, coffee doesn't sound appealing to me. Never been an iced coffee guy. So, but a cold morning here in Indy, cup of coffee is perfect.
Well, I don't know if you're aware, but anybody who goes 1,800 days in between NFL head starts and comes back at age 44, you get a free Rich Eisen Show mug. So when you're away. Congratulations.
Perfect.
Congratulations.
I'll send you a pic of me having a good cup of coffee here.
Fantastic. Yeah. You had no idea that was a perk of your comeback until this very moment. So happy New Year to you.
Even more glad we made this work now.
Yeah, happy brother. New Year, Rich. Thanks. Same to you. Same to you and your family. Enjoy being in PE on Tuesday, Philip.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. All right. See you guys.
Philip Rivers, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. The best of the best. I'm not kidding. What a coaching point. Hey, you know, you don't think you can do it? You don't think?
Yeah, watch this.
You're concerned about your set of circumstances? You know, he's not a me type guy, right? Like, so he's not going to be, look at me. But other coaches can 100% say, look what Philip Rivers did.
Yeah. And he gave us the name of the movie during the interview.
Which is what was it?
Three Bonus Weeks.
Okay, Three Bonus Rivers Weeks. Story. Dadgummit.
It's not bad. I like that.
Three Bonus Weeks.
What if I told you?
Three Bonus Weeks.
Love it.
Loved it. God, I love that guy. Philip Rivers, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. It's a What's More Likely Friday, everybody. Don't you dare move. Lots of likeliness or unlikeliness to hit. As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Rich Eisen here. The tax deadline will be here before you know it, and you just want to know your taxes are actually being handled. But the old way? You hand everything off, and then silence. Days pass, weeks pass. You start wondering, should I send another follow-up email? It feels like you're chasing updates and getting nowhere. But now, taxes are different because your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full-service expert. With Intuit TurboTax, you can match with your dedicated tax expert and hand off everything right in the app. And while your expert checks for every deduction, you'll see real-time updates on your phone so you always know exactly where things stand. Suddenly, you're not refreshing your inbox. You're going for a run, grabbing a coffee, scrolling anything other than a just checking in message, because your TurboTax expert is handling it and keeping you in the loop. So this tax season, get your best possible outcome and every dollar you deserve without the guesswork. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app, only available with TurboTax full service experts. Save money and get a better view of the road when you replace your worn-out wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, save $10 on a pair of Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. They feature beam blade technology to improve windshield contact for maximum visibility. The professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades for free. Choose Rain-X Latitude wiper blades at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80, along with our Disney Plus stream and our ESPN stream. Before we get to what's more likely, a couple of more college football stories to hit here. First things first, lost amongst the Indiana beatdown of Alabama and last night's de facto SEC championship game was Oregon shutting out Texas Tech and scoring with hardly any time left, and Dan Lanning getting some criticism for scoring there. And my only opinion on that is two things. First of all, you don't want to be scored on stop the opponent, number one. And then number two, Texas Tech kept firing off one timeout after another, after another, after another, and it was fourth down. What do you want the guy to do at that point in time? You've basically forced him to take a fourth down snap What's he going to do? Run around and then take a knee and then give you the ball back?
Right.
No, you're going to hand it off, and if he scores, he scores. And if you turn it over on downs, then that's the end of that. Am I wrong? Did I miss anything right there? Accusing him of being, you know, unsportsmanlike and running up the score? Did you guys catch that?
I didn't feel that way watching it. I guess talking about it now, I mean, you could have taken a knee or just kind of stood there, and then taken a knee, I guess. I don't know. I didn't feel that it was unsportsmanlike.
I didn't think
that
at all.
In the moment.
No. They're the ones who kept firing off the timeouts. You want to get out 16-0, then just let the game end.
Right.
But I guess you're just trying to coach until the last second, and
play
if that's the case, then stop them, you know? But before the game, Dan Lanning fixed college football. You know how I'm kind of looking for that?
Well, it's been a topic.
I'm looking for leadership with ideas.
Looking for an adult.
But we also need it to come from the coaches, too, to basically say, this is the way we'll be comfortable with it, and let's find the right powers that be to make it happen. Dan Lanning thinks that today we should be talking about the national championship game happening yesterday. He thinks that college football should just keep playing all the way through December. To heck with these bye week games. I'm assuming get rid of the conference championship games as well.
Oh, that would be great.
And just keep playing one week after another. Cadence that we see in the National Football League until there's a bye week prior to the Super Bowl to give everybody the best chance to be healthy for the biggest game possible. And these bye week teams going 1-7 now over the first 2 years of the college football playoffs.
Not great.
And what's the point of giving you a bye week if the other teams have 2 weeks off before they play their one game? Potentially they are getting the jump on you by getting into a cadence. And they're just maybe as healthy as everyone else because they get a couple weeks off. And then Lanning points out, why are they seeding the ground to the NFL on some of these Saturdays while we're waiting for college football playoff games to hit? This is what he had to say.
Ultimately, in my mind, the vision for this should be, you know, every playoff game should be played every single weekend until you finish the season. Ideally, the season, even if it means we start week zero or you eliminate a bye, the season ends January 1st. This should be the last game. It should be the championship game, and then the portal opens. Then coaches that have to move on to their next opportunities get the opportunity to move to their next opportunities. Certainly there's some conversation about when, you know, high school signing day should be. I think that could go either way because most of us now try to get guys in as mid-year players and you want them to be able to join your program at semester, which is a challenge. But I think the first really clear indicator of a place that we can make this better is to wrap the season up. You know, our national championship game this year is January 19th. Right, and that's really hard to envision as a coach that's going out and trying to join a new program and start a staff. It's hard for players to understand what continuity looks like and where they're going to be at and to manage that with visits, the portal, everything else that exists. I think the clear indicator and the clear way to do that is to bump the season up, right, and make sure these playoff games happen a lot faster. You know, and I've got a ton of respect for the NFL, but we're a prep league for the NFL. We do a lot of favors for the NFL, right? We're the minor league in a lot of ways. But there's no money paid from the NFL to take care of college football, right? And in that sense, we've given up some of our days, right, to the NFL. We said, oh, this is, you guys get to have this day. You get to have this day. You get to have this day. Saturday should be sacred for college football, right? And every Saturday through the month of December should belong to to college football, in my opinion.
I like it.
No notes.
Yeah, I like it.
No notes. So wait a minute. So the season ends yesterday. Then maybe you give a week to figure out your roster retention then the portal opens up at the same time you could start moving around as coaches. Huh. Isn't that interesting?
Novel idea.
Is that entirely possible? Can we actually do such a thing? Love it. Who can make it happen? Who can make it happen? And let's figure out a central office that then handles scheduling and get some rules for NIL and get some rules for that are uniform for everybody. And let's go. Okay. I kind of dig it. Well done, Dan Lanning. Leadership. And, you know, again, for the fact that you just heard Dan Lanning say, let's end it on January 1, and then coaches can find, you know, can stay with their teams through the end of the season and then find a new job, if that's the case, in January. Just when everybody's figuring out roster retention and portal and all that sort of business. Because again, you're sitting here thinking, hey, that was messy with Lane Kiffin. Very.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, right now Ole Miss is still going strong with some of Lane Kiffin's assistants, who Lane, I guess, showed his largesse to the school that he left. You take these assistants that you are asking for or need to continue winning. He looks like he's beneficent to the school that he spurned, although he's making money with each one. He made $500,000 last night. So of course, he's rooting for Ole Miss, right? And apparently, because that game took place in New Orleans, apparently all the Ole Miss coaches that are LSU coaches are in the LSU building right away today, dealing with roster retention and portals and all that sort of stuff. And the largesse that Lane showed to Ole Miss by having the assistants stay put, like Charlie Weiss Jr. calling the plays, apparently nobody thought, what's going to happen if Ole Miss wins the quarterfinal game? Because right now, all I'm seeing online is that the curtain's coming down because the portal's opening up and LSU needs to start roster building for next year. And apparently that merits the coaches that are currently still with Ole Miss to return to their new place of business. And he's going to bring the curtain down on Ole Miss in the middle of the college football playoffs. Yeah, so is that really possible?
So the next game, the semifinals aren't until next Thursday.
Right.
And so there's a chance that, you know, all those coaches who are with LSU or went back to Ole Miss or with LSU, they're going to be with LSU and they're not going to be available for Ole Miss. This could be
Why? What's the point?
A competitive advantage. If LSU is trying to pluck players from Ole Miss,
right.
The portal's now open.
Right.
So
Ole Miss doesn't want them around? Is that what you're saying? Because they might lose some of these players.
Yeah, hey, I gotta go back.
While they're preparing,
we beat Georgia
semifinal,
and now we're going to back to LSU. Why don't you come with us and just leave? I think that's probably a worry.
But that's what's been happening all the way through up to now. For them to pull out the roots of what's going down on game day and prep for the college football semifinal would be wild.
Wild.
Just when you think that this thing's done and buttoned up and you thought, okay, you can stay with Ole Miss as long as they're active. What, did they not think that they would make the semifinal? Because I know Lane's already prepared for that possibility by having LSU include in its contract for Lane.
Roster bonus.
A bonus. If Ole Miss beats Miami to make the national championship game, then Lane would be guaranteed at a minimum $750,000. He makes $750,000 if Ole Miss finishes as the runner-up, and $1 million if they win it all. So, of course, I would say take the assistance. It feathers my nest. It makes me look like I'm turning the other cheek. But now to take it away? Or Ole Miss is now saying, we don't want you around because the portal's open?
Yeah, you could be at a disadvantage in building your roster for next year. If these guys,
but at this point in time, I'm Ole Miss. I'm like, we've got to keep it the same way. We've got to.
You'd think so.
To heck with you're two wins. You're eight quarters away from winning the Natty in Ole Miss
with a guy
in
Chambliss who looks like he can be that championship
that
quarterback.
Dude.
Yeah,
insane. It just gets crazier and crazier and crazier. We'll take a break. What's more likely when we come back? Michael Irvin, top of our number three. Speaking of crazy, he's coming up. And then my top five, getting you ready for a big NFL weekend.
Good morning, Crust. It's a great day to be a bread brother.
Ugh, mornings are not my jam. Or jelly.
Oh, come on. Stop loafing around.
I just woke up feeling hollow inside.
Just grab one of the new Morning Uncrustables sandwiches, like Bright Eyed Berry or Up an Apple, filled with 12 grams of protein and tons of deliciousness. Crust, what are you eating?
It's just granola, not even yogurt.
No crust, no fuss. Uncrust your mornings.
Hi, it's Sam Reinhart from the Florida Panthers.
It's a hat trick! Sam Reinhart!
Watch as we take on the New York Rangers in the 2026 Discover NHL Winter Classic in Miami. The NHL Winter Classic is coming to the Sunshine State. Ring in the new year with me in Miami. Catch all the action on January 2nd at 8 p.m. Eastern on TNT and HBO Max. That's January 2nd at 8 p.m. on TNT and HBO Max. For tickets and more info, visit nhl.com/winterclassic.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
As you know, I care deeply about pediatric cancer research and awareness. Hyundai Hope on Wheels is an awesome program you should know about. If you already don't know, for over 27 years it's been going on. Every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. Together with over 850 dealers nationwide, they've raised more than $277 million supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. Please visit HyundaiUSA.com and search up Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. At Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. It's a Friday. That means it's time for What's More Likely. Go ahead and hit it. Hit it, please.
What? What's More Likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Christopher, the floor is yours, sir.
Hey, everybody. Happy Friday. Happy New Year.
Hey, happy
great
New Year, Chris.
To see all of you. All right, a lot of interesting matchups this week. Let's get right to it. More Likely, very tall wide receiver to have more yards and touchdowns this weekend. T-Mac or Mike Evans? Big game. Panthers, Bucks.
It is. A goat versus the kid, right? Tet McMillan.
Wants to be
offensive rookie of the year, O-R-O-Y.
You vote for that too?
He is not.
Yes, I do.
I vote for the whole damn shebang. I have these numbers right here. McMillan has had fewer than 45 receiving yards in four of the last five games. And I think the Bucs are going to win this thing, but I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
Oh, you think the Falcons win?
I believe the Falcons are going to beat the Saints at home. So there's that.
Yeah,
so
Dave Canales has said he wants to get T-Mac the ball more.
I will get. I'll go Mike Evans here.
Okay,
I'll say Mike Evans at home in this game against the Panthers, and then they hold their breath to see if I'm right or wrong about the Falcons and the Saints.
Mike Evans said he's not going to think about next year yet until later on the off.
Correct. This could be his last game, so he's going to go all out. I'll take Mike Evans in this one.
All right. The other huge game on Saturday night, Seahawks 49ers. Who's more likely to win the NFC, Seahawks or 49ers?
Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. I have to choose between one of these two?
One of these two to go to the Super Bowl.
And I'm taking the Eagles out of it, the Bears out of it, the Rams out of it.
Well, these two teams are playing each other.
I understand that they're playing each other.
Who's more likely of these two teams
to go to the
Super Bowl?
I believe the 49ers win on Saturday night and take the one seed, so I'll take the 49ers. Okay.
There you go.
49er fans love me right now because I put them in my power rankings first overall. and Seahawks fans right now are not happy with me. I just feel that the Niners are playing better offensive football right now, and they're going to be more of a handle for the Seahawks defense to deal with, and thus they'll be the one seed in their own house and just need two wins to get to the Super Bowl. So I will take the 49ers, sir.
Yeah, Brock Purdy on a pretty big heater right now.
He is indeed. You know, two straight games of at least five scores.
That's a what if, man. If he had been healthy all season,
they might be the one.
It could be undefeated. That's all I'm saying.
Which is why Kyle Shanahan's got a great case for coach of the year.
I think if they win Saturday, he might lock that up.
What else?
More likely, MVP worthy quarterback to have more yards and touchdowns on Sunday: Matthew Stafford or Drake May?
I'll go Stafford. Stafford's taking on Arizona at home. So, what do you think, Chris?
You might be right there because Drake May only played the first half. Similar situation to last week.
I don't know, man.
Beat up on a bad team.
I think it's a reversal of last week, although the Rams were on the road against a really good Falcons team over the last month, and the Patriots were on the road against the Jets team that is positively dreadful and embarrassing and made short work of him, and Stafford had a rough go of it. This time around, they're both home, but I think the Patriots are facing the more stout opponent. We'll see what happens. I think Stafford has a day against Arizona, and they'd like to do him a solid by having him go into the postseason on a bit of a heater. So,
well, Stafford kind of needs to have a good game to get some momentum going.
I got it.
Yeah.
What else?
More likely to be the higher yardage total. Derrick Henry rushing or Aaron Rodgers passing?
Derrick Henry rushing.
Another 200 game?
I didn't stutter.
Derrick.
I don't know about another 200 game. I mean, the Steelers' defense is pretty prideful and pretty damn good. But I don't know, man. Unless Rodgers and the Steelers and Arthur Smith and can figure this thing out with a receiver that, first of all, hey, every receiver on the Steelers, just look for the back shoulder throw because it's going to be coming your way. This guy's the greatest at it. You could make the case there's been no better back shoulder thrower than Aaron Rodgers. And last week, that's all it appeared that the Steelers could do until the very last drive when Freiermuth opened up over the middle. So I don't know. I have a feeling for the Steelers to get through, it's got to be a Warren Gainwell type game.
Yeah, Rodgers only had 168 yards.
I'm kind of getting that sense. Now, obviously, he could just flip this one off to Warren and he rips one off for 45 yards or something like that. I don't know. I'm just going to go Derrick Henry. Lamar's back too. That's not a problem. That's not good news. For
first time in months, full week of practice for Lamar.
What else you got over there?
Home team that should probably move on from their head coach TJ to make the playoffs, Bucks or Steelers?
Well, you're not saying to move on from the head coach in order to make the playoffs.
No, I'm saying in general, they should probably move on from this individual, but which one of them make the playoffs?
I don't think either one is.
Exactly. I mean,
you don't think either of these teams are making the playoffs?
Oh,
no, I don't think either of these teams are going to move on from their head coach.
That's not the question.
I know you're forcing me to fire somebody.
I'm not.
Well, yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Should probably move on from
which
their
team,
head coach.
No, but that's not the question. Which team makes the playoffs, Bucks or Steelers?
Oh, I think neither of them do.
Oh, okay.
Never say never, but never.
I'm saying they should probably move on from their head coach.
I know
which
what
one
you're trying to
play.
Say. I don't agree with that.
I'm asking the question. Well, just read the question.
Which
home team that should probably move on from their head coach to make the playoffs?
Oh, okay. So you're saying they should move on from their head coach.
I'm saying they probably. I'm saying both teams probably should.
Okay.
I'm saying which one ends up making the playoffs.
I will say the Steelers because they don't need help.
You're thinking so negative of my intentions.
I mean, 100% know what you try to do.
Understandable, though.
Hey, thank you, TJ. I appreciate the support here.
I just, who makes it? Bucks or Steelers, guys?
You could have just said it like that.
But what's the fun in
both
that?
Both are at home. Both have a chance to win. Even if the Bucks win, they suddenly need a Falcons team that has caught fire to trip up against the Saints at home.
No Chris Olave.
Although the Saints have been playing well. Correct. No Chris Olave because of some horrible development involving his lungs.
He's had a great year.
But, I'll then go the Steelers right there.
Okay.
Okay.
We made that win.
I don't think either of them should move on from their head coach.
Well, you're wrong there.
Okay.
More likely 8-8 road team to spoil their division opponent's playoff seeding party. Colts or Lions?
I'll go Lions. You know, they got they got the crazy in charge. And the Colts are starting a third string quarterback. So on the road against Houston. That's not fair.
That does not.
Again, I saw it with my own two eyes.
That's not so fair.
Coop came up with a top five list for me for next week. Top five teams that could spoil the Super Bowl party for the most. And I'm wondering if Houston would be number one on that list.
Is that another way of saying, like, team we don't want to see in the Super Bowl?
No, team that you just didn't expect to make the playoffs or at some point in the season to spoil somebody's terrific season. Like yours, for instance, in New England.
We're spoiling everyone else's party?
No. The Houston Texans will spoil parties. Anyway, long story short, I'm taking the Lions here. What else you got?
Got it. More likely to be the greater number, head coach openings on Monday or touchdowns scored in Cowboys Giants. We have two openings right now.
I'll go head coach openings on Monday. Although Dak's playing, huh?
Deck is playing. Highest total of the week.
I thought he wasn't going to play.
Highest total of the week.
I don't know. I haven't been paying attention to Cowboys football, except apparently Trevon Diggs saying, I want to stay at home. Can I stay at home? No, you cannot stay at home. Now you're fired.
Yeah, that was wild.
That seemed to be a little extreme.
Now, again, I might be oversimplifying the headline and story.
Very much so, but in essence, it is
that is what happened.
I'll take head coach openings.
All right, a couple more. More likely, a higher number, Myles Garrett sacks, still going for the record, or Ja'Marr Chase touchdowns?
I will go Myles Garrett sacks. As you know, the Browns love taking on Joe Burrow.
Yeah, that's true.
Myles Garrett needs to get a sack record. Last I checked, the narrative involving the Bengals offensive line and Joe Burrow behind it makes it seem likely that Myles Garrett will get the sack record.
Right.
And if Joe Burrow is sacked, that will be one last chance for him to find Ja'Marr Chase for a touchdown against a Browns team that's been stingy in that department, more likely than not.
Way to parse that one.
I will go Myles Garrett sacks here.
Last one, more likely potential AFC number one seed on upset alert this week. Broncos, Jaguars, Patriots.
I'll go Patriots. Yeah.
I think you're right there.
I'll go Patriots. Jaguars have Tennessee.
Right.
The Broncos have Trey Lance.
Correct. And Pats have struggled against Miami.
And Miami's just been such a massive question mark with Quinn Ewers and
shrug emoji.
And playing for Mike McDaniel or not.
Yeah.
Looks like they have. He says McDaniel says he's now a robot when it comes to his emotions about what's best for the team. So I'll go Patriots. I'll go Patriots.
Love it.
For what's more likely, everybody.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.